Welcome to For the Love of Conversation, the podcast that grew out of 3 Minute Storyteller, where we believe conversations connect us and social change begins with the stories we tell. At 3 Minute Storyteller, we share digital stories, video snippets of intimate, messy, expansive conversations with a wildly eclectic bunch of artists, scientists, leaders of all stripes, all who are legendary change agents. Some you may know, and hopefully many you don't. This podcast is the opportunity to bring you into the full conversation. I'm Shannon Mannon, along with my husband Mike and our VW bus Scarlett, who we've outfitted into an awesome mobile storytelling unit. We invite you into the full conversation with us. We're so glad you're along for the ride. When we sat down with this week's two storytellers during our visit to Homeboy Industries, the nation's largest gang rehabilitation program started by Father Greg Boyle, I instantly felt something powerful in my body, but it's taken my mind a little bit longer to understand. Connie Caruso Hutchinson and Laura Abaroa met each other through Homeboy. Connie volunteers and Laura works in Homegirl Cafe. Before our conversation, my framework was that Connie was the mentor and Laura was the mentee. But it wasn't too long before I realized that the vastness of their relationship defied any label. What these two women and mothers and friends share is a living testament to what Christians might call heaven on earth, or what Buddhists call sangha. It's real community. It's a circle of compassion where awe replaces judgment and where you can belong just because you show up. All that's asked of you is to wonder about the life of another. And I can totally do that. So I was welcomed and invited in. And if you walked in off the street like we did, you would be invited in too. And you would feel the holy embrace of true belonging. It's what my heart most longs for. I've worked in some form of community building for my entire life, my adult life at least, but I've never tasted anything quite like Homeboy before. After experiencing it, I'm renewed and motivated like never before to find ways to create conditions that allow those of us who long for something larger to gather and be fed by a spacious God through each other. So Connie, I think we'll start with you since you're already warmed up. I wondered if you could just give us a little bit of a background of your, you know, your life story, but really a focus on your, just a kind of like help ground us of, you've had a lot of loss and redemption and a lot of second chances in your life. Could you just help us understand a little bit of some of those hardships and how you've overcome them and what they were?
Well, the bottom line is, I can tell you from the present day that tomorrow I will be celebrating 40 years of recovery in a program where I was a user and abuser of drugs and alcohol. And it has brought me to my relationship with Laura. That's one of the pluses in my life. My life is rich with pluses. And I could not have said that 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from a background of suicide whenever I didn't get the man, and very, very negative view of self. That is completely reversed, and I have become a person relevant to somebody Laura's age, and people like her, because people like her are people like me. Mm-hmm. I've come to realize that there's no me and you. It's us and we. And she's getting, I want to nail it into her head, that she and I are not different. We've just had different lives. And that we suffer the same agony for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I chose to mentor her. She's my first mentee that I don't sponsor people. Let me put it this way. I direct. I have information as a wise elder to pass on to youth. That's my job. and I've created that job. And it makes me, the thing is, you know, Ayn Rand once said in a book, her first book, The Fountainhead, I think, she said, altruism is a selfish endeavor because we are kind and good because it makes us feel good. There is no such thing as altruism. It's just self-serving. And in a way, if I'm succeeding with Laura and her life is getting better and she's enjoying it, it feels good that I was a part of it. But I didn't do it. It was the spirit in me that did it because somebody else helped me out. I'm just passing it on. That's all I'm doing. Yeah, so I'm not doing you a favor. You're helping me out to stay civilized because I wasn't always civilized. But I want to hear your end of it.
Yeah, Laura, how would you begin to talk about your life, whatever that means to you? How you grew up, any struggle that you have faced, and what brought you in the door here at Homeboy?
I think, like, for a lot of people like me, we're raised by parents who didn't know, and I understand my mother now, because she did the best she could with whatever information she had, and I'm first generation here. She came from Mexico. So growing up, I was very angry at her, very resentful, and there was a lot of confusion, there was a lot of pain in the way we were treated. You know, it wasn't very bad, but it wasn't something I agreed with, you know, and I've struggled with that, with, you know, like blended families, like step-parents and stuff like that, you know. And we see it today, my husband and I, in our families, I have stepchildren, he has a stepdaughter, my daughter, we have a son. So a lot of that, my childhood reminds me of pain, you know, with the parents. My dad left, he went to prison, I don't remember how old I was, but I always wanted my dad there, to this day, you know. And but I look at my mom different now. It's not so much that I need to forgive her, it's just that I understand her now. And so that's, when I think about like my past, that's like the beginning, you know, a lot of pain and confusion, like what we didn't understand. There was things they didn't want to explain to us. You know, I was told that my dad went to Mexico when he was in prison and things like that, you know. And then just growing a little bit older into like my teenage years, I just rebelled. And I was very, very angry and just a lot of anger. I just think about the past and I think of anger. And then that just turned into using and drinking and being out and being in the street at a very young age, just to numb myself or just to feel good, you know. And it's been a cycle in my life since I was young, since I was back to like 13. And it's been hard to break that cycle, you know, of like self-destruction and doubt. There's a lot of doubt in when we succeed or we you know, get a step closer to like being, how do you say it? Like how she said, like civilized, you know, being contributing members of society. Like it's scary, and it's like you go one step forward and then you go three steps back, you know. And or at least I do, and in a lot of areas, instead of just living that moment and enjoying it. So it's a struggle, and that's where like Connie comes in, and I talked to her about that, you know, about how I doubt myself, and it's not like failing that we fear, it's success. You know, I fear success because I'm not used to that. I'm used to failing, like it's familiar, and and that's just the cycle that I've been in. And but it gets better every time, you know. It is selfish in a different area than what she was talking about. When we go in that route or we head into that direction, we're selfish, but we don't realize it until somebody helps us out and points, you know, and helps us see it from a different perspective. And that's what Connie helps me do, because she doesn't lie to me. She's very honest. She doesn't sugarcoat anything, you know. She's very, very true in everything, you know. And then I haven't had that And I'm very grateful to her for that.
Connie, can you talk about, you touched on this, but a little more, could you expand a little bit more on how your life has changed through your relationship with Laura? What has she brought to your life, or your relationship?
She is reminding me of the things I did. And that's why I get very frustrated. I want to shake her because she's doing exactly the same thing I did. Once I got a gift, I found a way to sabotage myself. And people were there for me. People would say things like, I wish you would know the person I know in you. I didn't know what they were talking about. But gradually, through all the agony and the pain and the many bottoms I've hit, I've been in an insane asylum, not a psychiatric hospital, an insane asylum. I was tied to a straight bed for 24 hours. I was wrapped in a straight jacket. Now, you can't get back. I always use that experience, and I lost my child, my infant, when she was 10 and a half months. Can you imagine not knowing where Charlie was for 11 days? I went through that. And it is my PTSD, and I hate to use those excuses, that I go to periodically, even today. And my life is fabulous. My daughter is fabulous. Everything about my life is wholesome and healthy. And I can't get over the capacity I have to love, because I've spent most of my life hating to protect myself. And I don't have that anymore. By the way, I'm talking about somebody else. I'm not that person anymore. There's nobody to feel sorry for in me. I'm fabulous. But I worked for it. I suffered for it. I listened to another person who went through it. And this is what I try to get Laura to get. You may not believe what I'm telling you, but trust that I'm telling you the truth. You know? And believe, and I'm here for you, and I will never turn on you, and I will never turn you in, no matter what. I love you. Father Greg talks about kinship. He talks about erasing the margins. And I know exactly what he's talking about, because I keep practicing them. And that's what's happening between Laura and I. There are no margins between us. I know what it is not to have. I know what it is to struggle. I know what it is to love my baby so much and be alone, feel alone. Right now, I can't stand my daughter periodically, but that's my job as a mother. You know, I don't take it seriously. And she's learning from me that I've said things to my kid. She said, you said that? And I said, of course I did. Kids are crazy making. They are born to torture their parents, you know? So it becomes real one-on-one. And sometimes I know that you are going through, but she can't possibly understand. Look at the way she dresses, look at the way she thinks, look, blah, blah. You're smart. I'm so glad we're having this, because I'm hearing things from you that I should have heard yesterday. You know? So I mean that you are getting something out of this. And that it does take one step forward, three steps back. And you're not going to change that. You have to trust the spirit in you. And you have to trust the new friends you're making. You know? We go out socially. We have gone out socially. We've had pizza together. We've gone, you know.
She had In-N-Out for the first time with us.
Yeah. In the car. In the car. It brought me back to my own childhood. In the car with the family. You know, and I don't like families. I am not attached to, my daughter is my family. I have made up family. I have a Korean family that adores me, whom I adore. I have Laura and Benjamin and Noah, who's a pain in the butt. He's a year and a half old. And Gia, who's a love, who's 9 years old. I even remember Benjamin Jr. and Precious. Those are the four kids. I don't remember names. And they are people I genuinely care about, because I think about them even when I'm not with them. You know? So that's one of many things in my life. I've written a book. At the age of 70, I started to write a book, and I got published at 84. And that led me to Homeboy Industries. I wanted to pay it forward. I felt so rich. I felt I'm a contender, me and Marlon Brando. Well, you wouldn't even remember, you're too young, but he was a major star, and we all wanted to be contenders. Well, I became one, and I wanted to pay it forward. That's why I'm here. Who knew that Benjamin and Laura would be a part of my life? I didn't know when I walked in. And I did feel when I walked in one day, I had like, I said, oh my God, heaven is not up there. It's right here where I'm standing. The experience of love, somebody opening a door, Marco trying to stop me from, yeah, Father Greg is so funny. Every time he sees me, he goes, security, security, where are you? Where are you? I love that man. I love that man. And I don't love him in a human way. He really touches my heart because of the work that's done. I really believe Jesus is around here, and he's as crazy as we are, you know?
So Laura, I wanted to follow up on that generational piece, but not the two of you, what it's meant for you as a mother, that next generation, and how who you've become changes the mother that you are and will be.
Mm. With my childhood and now with my daughter, like I mentioned, my father went to prison when I was very young. I went to jail when my daughter was about, I think she was one the first time, and then she was three the second time. And as much as I've struggled, she's been my main motivation to this day. I do have a second child, but he has, my husband and I, and he's okay. Doesn't make him any less. But my daughter is very special because she has her own struggle right now. And the system that we have is very, it's very messed up. I've had to call DCFS twice and they've done nothing, you know? So it's very hard for me. I feel powerless. I feel like my hands are tied, you know? And but what I do now, instead of ignoring her, or I'm gonna share it with you guys. I don't know if it could be on here. I don't wanna put my mom on blast. But one time I told my mom had a baby, he died, and blamed it on us. And I took it the hardest. My brothers were like, whatever. So I went through this phase, this was before I started using, and I told her I would pray to God every night. I'll be like, please turn back time and take me instead of him. And I was like 12, and I told my mom, I feel like dying. And instead of talking to me, she said, go to the restroom. And she started hitting me, and then she like dragged me from the restroom to the laundry room, and she forced me to say, thank God you're alive. Since then I had struggled with like faith, you know. And with my daughter, I don't do that. I don't force her to see what I see, you know. I've talked to her and I tell her, if I say something, you know, and you don't agree with it, tell me. You know, don't be afraid, because that's what she's at right now. There's a lot of fear. They've instilled fear in her, and I want to break her out of that. Because I told her, there's power in your voice, you know. You don't have to this environment that you're in, it doesn't have to stay that way. Because both times, they threatened her. Oh, they're gonna hurt you. And I told Gia, they can't hurt me. I'm stronger than they are, because I'm not afraid, you know. But I'm not gonna do something that would jeopardize me and you being together, you know. So what I do now is I try to come from a place of understanding and patience. And I'm not her. I don't own her, you know. Even though I'm her mother, I don't own her. Nobody owns her, and I tell her that. You know, I'm not, how do you say, like this authority over her. It's not like that, you know. And it took me hearing her experience of pain to change that, because it was I was still like that when I reunited with her, like a couple years ago, like 4 years ago. And when she shared openly what she was going through, I changed everything. And it reminded me of me as a child, different experiences, that all I wanted was somebody to hear me. And I couldn't be heard, so I went to drugs and alcohol and just other things, just put it away, you know? And that's how it's changed me. And it's a work in progress. We learn every day how to be parents, how to be a little bit better from our mistakes.
The two of you both used the word civilized, and you know the root of that,
yes,
to be civil,
yeah,
to
yeah.
each other, you know, which seems so simple, it seems so ordinary, but it's everything, right? It's like to be civil to each other, it's that conversation, that sharing that you're talking about.
Yeah, the interesting part right now that I'm getting right in the moment is that we are learning from each other. My experience of Laura as a parent, I see her with Noah. Noah, he's a baby and he's a guy and he's all over the place and he yells and he screams and she doesn't try to suppress those feelings. I mean, I noticed myself observing, saying, oh my God, she's such a good parent. Usually parents want to stifle the kid, particularly if there's company there, you know, and she's allowing him to be him, staying with him, but not trying to rearrange him. And he works it through. I see it, I'm witness to it. And what I also realize is I'm learning from her how to be a better mother. It's never too late to become who you might have been. And I'm becoming a better mother, and my daughter's going to be 60 in May. And it never ends. It never ends. And our relationship gets better as a result of my experience with Laura and people that who are parents, that I did a lot of wrong things. And it's never too late to change and grow and become a better person. Never. I so believe that. So believe it. I'm so proud of you. I'm impressed. I have things to learn too, you know. I'm not just the teacher.
Laura, is can you talk about what you might, what do you think that your relationship has brought to Connie? How has your life enhanced her in your view? That's a hard question.
Yeah,
it's a really hard question.
I don't know if she sees the value in herself in relation to me.
No, because I could tell you how she's valuable to me, but
we'll start. You can start there, and maybe something will come.
Okay. Well, she's opened my mind to something different, to a different perspective, you know, and because I'm willing. And because I respect her and I love her, I listen. And she's very, like, blunt.
She knows it.
Like, one time I was saying something about my husband. She's like, stop complaining about him. And I'm not a complaint machine. And I was like, whoa. No one's ever told me that. You know, they just listen to me, like, okay. Because we all have something to say about, our spouse. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, wow, I do complain a lot about him instead of like thanking him or appreciating what he does do or the good things about him. I focus only on what he doesn't do. And it in that, like her bluntness, her honesty, I was like, wow, it helped me to just stop and take a look at myself and stop focusing on him. Because he has his own journey. And I was like, wow, like I'm very ungrateful, you know, and I need that. I need that her as my mentor, as my friend. I need that honesty. I need that guidance. And she doesn't just point those things out. She also tells me, you know, the positive things too. And with that, like changing it, not just thinking about it, oh yeah, she's right. No, changing it. It's made my relationship with my husband better. And he didn't thank her like he did. He hasn't told you because thank God, Connie.
I think I would assume that Benjamin sends Laura to me whenever she's a problem to him. Go talk to Connie. Go talk to Connie. I didn't even realize it until I mentioned it right now, how people help people without knowing they're doing it instead of destroying what we already have, you know? So I'm so glad that this is happening because it's bringing us closer together. And I enjoyed that In-N-Out. I had never had In-N-Out burgers before.
Connie, I've heard you talk about, you know, you might look different on the outside than folks that are at Homeboy, but there's something that connects you on the inside. Can you explain what that means?
I just understand what they go through. It is not. I'm not the rich lady who comes and relieves her guilt by paying, you know, throwing it. I get in there. I become a part of, because I am a part of. I feel I'm a part of. It's the only way I could explain it. I know what pain is. And I am at a stage. You know how people's definition of God keeps changing? I threw myself into a psychiatric clinic because I was having a breakdown at the age of 60. I thought 60 for a woman, not married, it was the end of her life and all she was doing was staring at death. And I became severely depressed and a danger to myself. So I put myself in a hospital. And I called a friend of mine and I said, I've been calling you and I couldn't get hold of you and I ended up here. And she said to me, that was no mistake. She says, you're there for a reason. And I believe the reason might be that your definition of God is changing and you're finding a place to discover it. That was one of the most powerful things. Now, I don't know if that's the words she used, but that's what I heard. And my definition of God keeps changing. And today, right now, I don't even know if there's a God. It is my choice to believe because it's comfortable for me. But I always say, God, not of my understanding. My brain is not big enough. And I said that as a child going to Catholic school, which I hated. I never felt safe there. But I think it's different today, and I think the church is really making efforts, but I still don't trust them. I do trust G-Dog. I absolutely trust him. And I trust the people I deal with at Homeboys. I love them. I walk in, they're my buddies, and I'm their buddy. And I never give them a false impression. I say, I will help you if I can. I will give to you if I can, and if I can't, I will say no. I'm very clear about that. Because I don't like to misrepresent and mislead. That's the worst thing you can do to any human being. I hate liars. I don't dislike them. I hate them. Because it scares me. And I know how to protect myself. And that's what I try to teach. You are in charge of yourself with the help of the spirit, if you can find a spirit. But I don't know what that is. That one is for you. I found it for me. And that's what I pass on. I don't say one lying thing to Laura.
Was the age difference when you first met Connie, what were your thoughts on it? Like, was it any, was there a barrier for you in becoming close to Connie because of anything in your head about the age difference?
Yeah, there's a lot of volunteers here at Homeboys, and a lot of the volunteers are older. And everything that I've learned from Homeboys, I've learned through my husband, because he was a trainee and he went through the program and he knows everybody here. So that's how, you know, I was like behind him, and that's how I learned everything. And he met Connie first. And my husband's very reserved, very private, but also very social, you know. And Connie would send us cards and all that. Oh, she's so nice. And she would, you know, like Christmas cards and stuff like that, and pictures. And I was like, Benjamin, why don't you call her or something, you know? And he's like, no, it's okay. Because it's like all the volunteers is like, they're here, but we're not so connected to them, especially because we work in the cafe, as the trainees are. So there's like, oh, there's that, you know, that nice lady or that nice man, like that. Like, it's not like a close relationship. So she was connecting with Ben, and I was like, you need to connect with her. And he's just like I said, in his own journey. So I started to try to, like, I would tell him, like, you have to, like, water your relationships, like watering a plant. And he doesn't know how to do that. That's something he needs to learn. So as his wife, I was like, oh, I'm gonna do that. So I started telling him, like, you know, let's hang out with her. Like, we can't always take, you know? And if the only thing we can give back is our time, then let's do that. And that's what I started doing on his behalf, because he doesn't know how. And there's a lot of other people that love him. They just love him, but he doesn't know how to love them back. He loves them. He doesn't know how to express it. So that's where I felt like, okay, I'm going to do that for him, or help him. And hopefully it teaches him to do it too. And that's how our relationship started. And it changed my perspective of Connie. She's just not some volunteer that comes and, like how she said, just comes and gives and leaves. She genuinely cares and wants to be involved and wants to get to know you. And that's when it changed, when I became willing to get to know her too, and introduce her to my children and things like that, you know.
And I reached out to Benjamin on a level that I knew he would understand. And I don't know where that comes from. I didn't study it. Intuitive. I had such a respect for him and what he was doing, and that nobody was noticing that I noticed. And I went to him and I told him how amazing I thought he was. And he, well, thank you. I get nothing from Benjamin. But I get a whole lot. I know he's crazy about me, but he's like that. And I tease him a lot. I just break through. I'm a force. Me and Darth Vader. It doesn't stop me. I'm not focused on needing him to like me. I'm focused on getting through to him. And I do it in a way I know he can accept it. And Laura and I understand each other as women, and we both know that men are dumb. We both know it. And men know that we know, you know, they kind of slide in and out and hope that we won't discover, but we do. So we know that about Benjamin. He's a guy, and limited in some ways, but he's also power. He loves her. He's a good guy. Yeah.
Laura, last question. I want to know, you know, how you would talk about advice to another woman who might be facing different but similar struggles that you went through, significant difficulties as a child and a young woman. What would you say? What would your wisdom or advice be?
To not give up, to keep going. And it's really hard, like, at least for me, like, as an addict, it's hard to believe that. You know, but it's people like Connie and people at Homeboys and even just like my coworkers. That's where the magic happens, when you start talking or when they start talking, and you can relate not so much to what they're going through, but what they're feeling. And it's like, I felt that way, you know, and tell them what got me through it, you know. And I think that faith has a lot to do with it, even though it's different, you know. Like, Connie talks about Jesus, like, you'll rarely hear me talk about Jesus because of the incident with my little brother. And it was because a different religion came and tried to, like, teach me their ways. And they're like, your prayers don't count because you didn't say, I ask in the name of Jesus. And since then, I was like, well, forget Jesus. And I was like, I can't, like, that's a lie. Now I know that's a lie.
Yeah.
God did hear me. I just didn't understand what was happening at the time. But that's one thing, is faith, and sometimes we don't know what that is, you know, whether it be God or be that somebody else went through it. Just faith is something that's really gotten me through. Just seeing somebody else, hearing somebody else, getting through something and knowing that it will get better. You know, it's very hard to be in there, to be down there, and like in the grips of that feeling right here. But it's possible. And a lot of us have made it to the other side. I mean, we still have a long way to go, but a lot of us have made it, and a lot of us haven't. And also knowing that and sharing that, a lot of us that haven't made it, and we kind of do have a decision, like, where do we want to be? You know, we think we want to be on that other side, but we don't, you know? And then that's another thing. Like, there's a lot of people who don't make it, and we're fortunate, you know, that we're here right now. Because with what I've put myself through, and I'm sure what she's put herself through in those days, we probably shouldn't be here right now, but we are.
Yeah, just one little last one. So we heard a little bit about a period of your life that, you know, if we had to sum it up, as you remember it as sadness, you know, deep sadness, and a part of your life that you summed it up as anger, big anger. If it's 10 years from now and you're looking back on right now, what's the emotion that you would think this part of your life is?
Joy. That is the emotion I've been experiencing over a long time. And if I last 10 more years, which would make me 97, I think I will probably, first of all, I think I would drop dead in the middle of a sentence and say, I'm not finished yet. And the other thing is that I would drop dead from a swelled heart. There's just no more. What I do want to say about that whole Jesus and God thing, people have a concept that God does for me. Oh, God did this. No, God does nothing for any one of us. God loves us. That's it. God stands still and loves us and gives us the strength to do the work. We are the ones who do the work. I believe that totally. God doesn't make me happy. God doesn't make me sad. I have to work to get to that position. I'd like to put it on a billboard, you know?
And how about you, Laura?
Gratitude.
Pardon?
Gratitude. Absolutely.
Like, even from where, like, it started, which was when I got arrested last, it's been just, like, overwhelming gratitude in the kindness of people, you know? People that want to help you. It's just, it's overwhelming, and in 10 years, I hope to be where Connie's at and give people what's been given to me.
You know, you will.
I want to be on that side in 10 years.
You are way ahead of the game, believe me.
Well, thank you for walking into that circle of compassion with us. I hope you thought it was just as delicious as I did. To learn more about the work of Homeboy Industries, check them out online or read one of Father Greg Boyle's best-selling, beautifully written and inspiring books, Tattoos on the Heart and Barking to the Choir. And please drop us a note on our website, 3MinuteStoryteller.com, to let us know how the spirit of true belonging and community is moving in you these days. What are you longing for, and where are you finding it? And while you're there, please subscribe to our email list so that you never miss a story from us.